With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump is warning Iran not to threaten the United States. Shortly after a rocket landed near the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad, the president tweeted a warning to Tehran saying, if Iran wants to fight, that will be the official end of Iran. Never threaten the United States again. Britain's Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt is warning Iran not to underestimate the resolve of the U.S. amid the heightened tensions across the Persian Gulf. A suspect being charged with capital murder in the slaying of an Alabama police officer. Authorities say 29-year-old Grady Wayne Wilkes could face the death penalty in the shooting death of police officer William Buchner. Ford revealed details of its long-awaited restructuring plan today and will part ways with 7,000 white-collar workers worldwide. That's about 10% of its global salaried workforce. This is SRN News.
Partly cloudy today and warm. The high will be 90 degrees. This evening, clear. Our overnight low expected to drop to the lower 70s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and warmer. There's only about a 1 in 10 chance of rain tomorrow and a high of 93. Wednesday will be sunny and a high of 91. And Thursday, sunny with a high of 89.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with my good buddy Doug McCary on this Monday afternoon. And Doug, good to have you back, brother.
Back from the Berg.
Pittsburgh.
The How Pittsburgh. Was it? It was great. It was great being around Leo, some of his guys up there. That Locking Arms ministry is really a phenomenal ministry. I got to be around just some great guys who were part of his huddles. And their philosophy is they want to love God, they want to love their neighbor, and they want to love each other and lock arms together. And so great group of guys up in, we were in Jumonville, Pennsylvania.
Pretty area.
Yeah, it really pretty and really nice kind of up in the hills up there, the Allegheny Mountains. And so nice.
I'm looking at their website, by the way, lockingarmsmen.org. And I remember looking at this because who did we have on with us last year?
Well, we had Leo.
Was it Leo?
Leo. Okay. Yeah, the founder of it. Yeah. So we had Leo on, and we had him on. I don't know. Were you in here when I had him and his son on?
Yeah.
Him and Stefan. So, yeah, they were.
Oh, you're talking about the other day.
Yeah,
last week. I was gone that week.
Yeah. So you were gone, but I had him and Stefan. By the way, Stefan signed with Phillies again.
Did he? Good.
You know, because he was in between when we had him on air, and he said thanks for all the prayers, and now he's with the Phillies, and he's happy he's back with his boys, he said.
I'm looking at this website. It's just their front page. There's some pretty brute guys in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, Stefan's one of those big brute guys. Yeah. Man, about 300-pound guard in the NFL, center and guard. But anyway, man, is it hot, Brad? It's 90 degrees here today. Now I know
probably feels like 110
up in Norfolk. Our people listening on WPMH, it's 92 up there, they got a little bit of a breeze blowing. I don't know how much of a breeze we got down in St. Augustine. It's a balmy 83 down there, man.
Hey, that ain't bad.
That's pretty good. Up in St. Mary's, it's almost 92. So most of our listeners are right around 90, except for the St. Augustine folks who are getting that breeze off the ocean. So, hey, did you see or hear about that that guy who spoke at Morehouse College? He's a billionaire, Robert Smith, and he's known as the wealthiest black man in America. And when he was speaking as the commencement speaker, he said, me and my family, we're going to pay off every student that's graduating.
I did hear that.
Debt. They're going to pay off the entire graduating class's student debt, man. That's unreal. Some people are saying that that's like in the neighborhood of about $40 million. $40 million. he just blanket gave that out and said, you know, they're going to not have to pay it back. I mean, think about it. For those kids, I was listening to one of the kids being interviewed, and it was he was just like, I just can't believe it. I mean, I was listening, and I said, did he just say that? You know?
So I need to get him over to Belmont University so maybe he can pay for my son's college.
Oh, by the way, one of our listeners corrected me. I said the Phillies. I mean the Philadelphia Eagles. Sorry for all you football fans.
Yeah,
I did not
baseball.
Mean the Phillies. It's baseball season. I'm thinking baseball, but it's the Philadelphia Eagles he was with. So sorry about that to all my Eagle listeners out there, especially if they're listening up in that area. By the way, a lot of the guys said they were going to be tuning in today. So if you're listening from the PA, thank you guys. Y'all were very gracious to me up there, and I appreciate you having me. But isn't that amazing, Brad?
Well,
I'm just to
here,
pay it off.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at this, and I got to go share with some young men. Over the weekend, I preached at a facility, and you know it's hard to get people's attention sometimes, especially if they're young. And I was thinking, when this guy's giving his commencement speech at Morehouse College, do you think he got their attention?
Oh yeah, he did.
Because I mean, I don't know what the they're saying $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine just being one of those kids who maybe had $80,000 in debt?
I mean, think about
that's
that.
Awesome.
I mean, yeah, that's it's I mean, just to think about that. I mean, I'm just doing the math here.
I don't know about
let's say that's 400 students right there graduating. Mm. Right around that. I don't know exact numbers, but that's wild. But could you imagine one of those students going, no, I don't want you to pay that. I mean, that's a debt that most of them would spend a large part of the rest of their life paying back, or at mm-hmm. least a significant portion of the next 10 to 15 years. And he just wiped it clean. And I can't imagine one of those students going, no, thank you. Could you?
No.
But yet people do that with God, with this incredible, the incredible gift that he's offered us is much more than a payoff of a student loan. And yet every day people, out of self-reliance, out of just a desire to, you know, really not acknowledge they need him, they don't want to acknowledge that they need it.
Mm.
They just reject God's gift to us every day. So I thought that was, I don't know, that made headlines. They're going to be talking about that for the next few weeks, you know.
Well, and they should. That's okay. When somebody does this,
it was a magnanimous gift, man.
Yeah.
It was just a very, very gracious gift.
But you know, people will, you know, criticize it somehow. It's just the world we live in. But he, you know, he was voted or not voted. He, in 2018, Smith was ranked by Forbes as the 163rd richest person in America. So I was reading something just a minute ago. It's like, well, what's 40 million when you got 4.4 billion?
Yeah. Well, it's still,
hey,
40 million bucks is 40 million bucks.
Doesn't matter.
He didn't make that many billion by not being careful, but he decided to do that. Hey, other things out there in the culture that are going on is, I don't know if you saw where Kirsten Gillibrand is struggling with what she's going to do in this field of 21 to stand out. Or 22, maybe it's up to 24 now, in the Democratic field for presidents. But a lot of people are saying that she is going to make abortion rights her rally cry. And she made a statement over in Georgia on the heels. I don't know if you saw last week, Alabama passed a very restrictive fetal heartbeat bill that's basically going to protect the rights of the unborn. Missouri passed one, I think. Or is waiting to be signed. They passed it, but it was just waiting for the governor's signature. Georgia signed it. And apparently all these Hollywood celebrities are coming down on Georgia because there's a lot of movies filmed up there. They get a lot of income from production studios and stuff. So a lot of the Hollywood elite are really trying to put pressure on Georgia to cave. And Gillibrand went there to have a rally. And at the rally, she basically said that if you are pro-life, if you're anti-abortion is what she said, then you're going against Christian teaching. That's what she said.
Are you kidding me?
No. It just made me think of, it made me think of Isaiah where it says they call right, wrong, wrong, right, good, bad, bad, good. Because she just to say that, think about how ridiculous that statement is, that abortion rights is anti-Christian. I don't know how she would even justify it. I'd be interested
to
know
hear
what
her.
What Bible verse are you using to justify that?
And see, that's what's crazy, is people can say stuff like that and never be challenged.
No.
With how do you come up with that?
Not only challenged, they're celebrated. Because,
well, exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Don't judge people. People will start saying that, not understanding even the context for what that verse is about. Mm. You know, that gets thrown out or out. But I just, the fact that she said that, I mean, that is just really, there was an article in the New York Times about her and her making this a campaign rally. It's going to be interesting to see how people start breaking out of the pack. They're going to have to really establish. It's a pretty progressive group of people other than Joe Biden. I mean, when you take Biden out, you've got a fairly large group of progressive people. And a lot of times progressives are like some of the people I quoted, you know, in SWAT, like that seminary professor who doesn't believe in the virgin birth, who doesn't believe in the resurrection, who doesn't believe...
Or the crucifixion.
She doesn't believe in a physical resurrection of Jesus, doesn't believe in... what else was it? There was another big thing. She didn't believe in a resurrection, the virgin birth. Oh, she didn't believe in hell, an afterlife. Just, you know, it was
just
all about here now. Yeah, so... So anyway,
what's the point of seminary?
Well, I don't know. I'm just sitting there wondering as she is saying these things, and, you know, this... Even Kirsten Gillibrand, the senator, this lady's a senator in the, you know, she's a senator in the United States Senate, and she says anti-abortion laws are against the Christian faith. That's just crazy. She says, if you are a person of the Christian faith, one of the tenets of our faith is free will. This is what she's saying. One of the tenets of our democracy is that we have a separation of church and state. And she says, under no circumstances are we supposed to be imposing our faith on people. And I think this is an example of that effort. What about, so is it an example of faith to keep somebody through a law from murdering somebody else?
I mean,
that's insane what she's saying.
I mean, that means forget the laws that we have in our country. If you're going down I-10, the speed limit's 70. If there's a sign that says 70, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, that's...
Well, she's decided that this is a faith issue and not a moral issue.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. Okay, so the speed limit says 70.
But what if you
But you know, I have free will.
Yeah, that's right. See, that's the whole
I
point.
I can do whatever I want. Don't pull me
under
over.
Under her plan.
Don't judge me.
Well, under her plan, and what she's saying is she wants to make abortion codified in every state so that these kind of fetal heartbeat laws aren't really applicable. They're able to be defeated at the Supreme Court level. So, but hey, you know what? When we come back this week, we are looking at the wow factor in Jesus. We're looking at, and so as we go to break, when you think of Jesus, what do you think of? You know, we're going to be right back after this break. If you want to join us, 844-777-7928. You're listening to SWAT Radio.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Ramblers in the wilderness, we can't find what we need. We get a little restless from searching, get a little worn down in between. Like a bull chasing the matadors, a man left with his own schemes. Everybody needs someone beside them, shining like a lighthouse from the sea.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on Monday afternoon. It is May 19th, Doug.
May 19th. You know, Brad, I have to go back to this. I want to read what she's laying out, if I can find it real here. Because what she's saying is she's going to codify abortion.
This is
Kirsten Gillibrand, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who wants to codify abortion, and what she's going to do away with the Hyde Amendment, which was one of the first pro-life pieces of legislation that passed. And a lot of this is in response to what's been going on, because like I said, Georgia, Ohio, Mississippi, Kentucky, Iowa, and North Dakota have basically banned abortion after 6 weeks under this fetal heartbeat syndrome, or a fetal heartbeat bill, actually. And she laid out three steps as she was speaking up in Georgia. She's going to codify abortion. She's going to end the Hyde Amendment, which bans federal funding for abortion. That's what the Hyde Amendment did. And then she's going to guarantee reproductive health care in every state, which is another way of saying she's going to fund Planned Parenthood in every state. And killing babies is not health care.
No.
That's not health care. And so, you know, she's fulfilling what basically Isaiah, she says, you're not Christian if you're pro-life. If you're anti-abortion, and the people that are passing this legislation is not Christian. Listen to what Isaiah 5:20 says. It says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deprive the innocent of his right. That right there, that verse is describing what's going on, because These people have pretty much sold their souls for money and power and influence. And they and you know, you and I were over in Israel, up at Caesarea Philippi, where people used to throw babies into the abyss up there, they thought. And they would sacrifice their babies there for what they thought was wealth and health and power and stuff. And
we live in a Caesarea Philippi today, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
I mean, upon this rock, though, we're going to build the church. You know what I was looking at here, just kind of getting a little background on Kirsten Gillibrand. She's Catholic.
Yeah.
I wonder how they would feel about that.
I don't think they probably feel too good.
How would she feel about Jeremiah 1:5? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.
Or Psalm 139.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, over in Psalm 139, it pretty much says the same thing. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the things that strikes me, Psalm 139, is just this incredible praise of God. When it says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them.
Hmm.
And if you go over to, I think it's Exodus, when Moses is going, Lord, I'm not your guy. I can't be the guy. I stutter. I don't know how to speak. And he says, hey, who made the man blind? Who made the man mute? Who? God is saying, yes, there are people that come in the world and they're not perfect in the eyes of the world because they may have a something different about them, a different ability.
Hmm.
They may have one less hand or one less arm. I have a daughter who has one less hand than you or I, but she's not disabled. She has a different ability because by the time she was in the first grade, she was cutting with scissors better than the kids that had two hands.
Hmm.
So God made her that way for his glory to be revealed in the same way he made Moses to stutter to be glorified in him, in the same way that I have my daughters, Abby and Becca, who have Down syndrome, that he shows his glory through these people. So to think that we can just take a life because somebody doesn't meet our expectations of perfection.
Or it's not convenient for me.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Doug. I've probably asked you this before. I don't know if I've asked it on the air. I know the answer, but God brought those girls into your family. You adopted them, you and Lori. Has God used those girls as an instrument of your own transformation?
Absolutely, yeah. He has. But I think one of the biggest problems in this week, you know, Brad, we're talking about the wow factor with Jesus. And I think one of our issues is when we see Jesus, we don't see the risen Jesus for who he really is.
Hmm.
If you're listening today, I just want you to stop for a second. I mean, don't, if you're in driving, obviously you can't stop, but I want you to pause as in your mind, and I want you to think about when you think of Jesus, has there been moments in your life where you go, wow, or is the wow always because of your circumstances, something good happens to you? Have you really thought about what he accomplished when he paid for your sin? When he was resurrected, because I think for a lot of us, we don't think about him in a way that makes us go, wow. I mean, God created in us this deep desire to worship him, and we try to fill that hunger that we have with everything else, and we don't see Jesus for who he is. And one of the things, Brad, that I think helps us see the wow of him is if we really look at the resurrection, because he did something that day that had never been done. I mean, when he raised Lazarus from the grave, when he raised the little girl who was dead, or the man, the son, the only son of the widow of Nain who was dead, He raised them back to a physical body that was human. It still suffered.
It still was going to die.
It still bled. It mm-hmm. still got cut. It was limited by the material world in which it lived. Mm-hmm. They lived. But when he was resurrected, that body that he was resurrected with passed through locked doors. Mm-hmm. That body felt no pain. That body was invincible. That body was not vulnerable.
It wasn't limited.
Yeah, it wasn't limited or vulnerable. It was a heavenly body that he was showing the disciples and everybody he appeared to that everything he said is true. And I used this illustration in the SWAT meetings last week. And if you could go with me to the mountains of Colorado, because I go out there and speak every now and then in Beaver Creek, and just to sit and look at the Rocky Mountains is unbelievable. You see the grandeur of God's creative power as this mountain range just is before your eyes in this panoramic view, these beautiful snow-capped peaks, and you see the topography so vast and different. And only God could have created something like that. And we want to worship. We see and it makes us go, wow.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine for a second sitting in the condo with your shades down and you have your iPad or your iPhone or your Samsung phone and you're looking at the picture of the Rocky Mountain Range on your iPad with the shades down. Outside where you're there, all you have to do is pull the shades up and you see the real thing. Mm-hmm. But instead, you're looking at a reflected image of that. And I think what a lot of times we do with Jesus is we never see him for who he is. We see him for what other people relate to us that he is.
Right.
And we don't fully grasp his magnitude, this unbelievable being, God in the flesh, who was brutalized for us, but then was resurrected into this heavenly body that was able to pass through locked doors, was able to do whatever he wanted to do, whisk here, whisk there. And we don't see that. And we don't go, wow. We don't, when we read scripture, we don't go, wow, at him, because we see it on a little reflected device instead of pulling the shades back and seeing the grandeur of who he really is. Because I think if we see who he really is, it will produce in us a belief that produces an action to where we live out a life of his purpose and trusting in his promises and receiving the benefit of his power and his patience in our life. But if we don't see it, we might as well be a kid who received that college, debt gift of paying off all their college debt and saying, you know what, that's great, but I think I'm just going to keep it. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we're stuck with. We're stuck, if we don't see Jesus and know him, a lot of people know about him.
Right.
But a lot of people don't know him. Because they've never really allowed the Spirit to open their eyes to see him. They go to church. They do spiritual things. And to be honest, there may be people that are his children that just haven't gotten a real glimpse of him other than the Spirit gave them that initial glimpse, but they're walking in immaturity like the Corinthians did, like the Romans did. And so I want this week to just ask our listeners to pull up the shades, to look at four peaks on this mountain that we're going to look at this week: his power, his patience, his purpose for our life, and his promise to us. And really just let it make you go wow at who Jesus is and what he wants to accomplish in your life.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks for letting me teach on Friday down at the SWAT group down in St. Augustine. Just it forced me into this study, and it's great. If you're tuning in, I think you'll enjoy the week. Glad you joined us. You want to call 844-777-7928, SWAT Radio. We'll be right back.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. President Trump is warning Iran not to threaten the United States. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
Shortly after a rocket landed near the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad, the president tweeted a warning. He said, if Iran wants to fight, that will be the official end of Iran. Never threaten the United States again. Iran's foreign minister posted his own message on Twitter, saying Mr. Trump had been goaded into genocidal taunts. But Britain's foreign secretary is warning Iran not to underestimate the resolve of the U.S. amid heightened tensions across the Persian Gulf. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Bad weather is targeting the southern states again. Correspondent Rita Foley with that story.
The weather forecast is so concerning that school districts in Oklahoma City and other areas canceled classes for today. National Weather Service meteorologist Andrew Orison.
We are going to be seeing areas of large hail, strong winds, and tornadoes, unfortunately.
Who's going to get the worst of it?
Northwestern Texas and also into western and central Oklahoma as we go through the afternoon and early evening hours of today.
Later today, the storm system is expected to move into western Arkansas. Tornadoes hit the southern plains on Friday and Saturday, injuring some people and causing widespread damage. I'm Rita Foley.
Also at townhall.com, Ford has revealed details of its long-awaited restructuring plan as it prepares for a future of electric and autonomous vehicles by parting ways with 7,000 white-collar workers worldwide. That's about 10% of its global salaried workforce. The major revamp, which has been underway since last year, will save about $600 million per year by eliminating bureaucracy and increasing the number of workers reporting to each manager. On Wall Street, the Dow is off 126 points, the NASDAQ down 117. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You're still seeing major delays because of an accident on I-10 eastbound at the exit at the 295 West Beltway, blocking two left lanes. Also, there's police activity on the West Beltway, 295 northbound at the Buckman Bridge, and also an accident on Butler Boulevard eastbound just beyond Kernan. Expect mostly clear skies tonight, low 68. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high up to 92.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here Monday afternoon. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 28. We're going to cover the whole chapter this week. Glad you joined us. If you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. 844-777-7928. If you have a question or a comment, you want to give us some feedback, send that to ask@swatradio.com. You can also check us out at swatradio.com. Listen to past broadcasts. Download the app also. You can listen to any past broadcast,
yep.
And it is totally up to date.
Thanks to James.
James is on top of it. He says it's up to date tonight. It'll be up to date.
So. Yeah, he's great. And by the way, that was Stephen Curtis Chapman with Magnificent Obsession. And I love the line and the chorus. This is everything I want. This is everything I need. I want this to be my one consuming passion. Everything my heart desires, Lord, I want it all to be for you, Jesus, my magnificent obsession. And, you know, when you see the wow of him, when you realize that there is no power in the whole universe. A hurricane can't hold a candle to the power that God enables us to have to do his will and his bidding. And, you know, Brad, I was up there and I'm trying to get this guy to see if he can be one of our guests. But his name was Mark, and he served in Southeast Asia and with a ministry over there, a prayer ministry in Cambodia. And he's been all over Southeast Asia. But he was sharing a story with me, and I want to get him on to share this. But at one point, a guy put an AK-47 up to his head and said, "Are you a Christian?" And it was a Muslim man that put his AK-47 up to his head and said, "Are you a Christian?" Now, if you're listening, I just want you to imagine for a second. When the answer to that question could mean you're with Jesus right away. And in his mind, when he's sharing the story with me, he said, "I thought I was about to see Jesus. I mean, I was excited, actually. I had this incredible peace because they were in the middle of a very, very violent confrontation between some Muslims and extremists and people that they were there in a police station, actually. And it was a riot taking place that had busted into the police station. And a guy came in and put that AK-47 up to his head and asked him and said, "Are you a Christian?" And he said, "The only thing I could say was yes." And, and you know, he said, at that moment, I thought he was going to pull the trigger. And God intervened and ended up protecting him and the other guys there. And he'll have to tell the story. But if he's, you know, if he's not your magnificent obsession, if he's not your one consuming passion, it's probably because when you think of him, you think of him as a guy who lived 2,000 years ago, who, yes, he did something good for you, and yes, you'll take advantage of it when you get ready to pass from this life to the next. But right now, you got to pay your bills. Right now, you got to get your marriage right. Right now, you got to straighten out your kids. Right now, you got to get your business going well. Right now, you got all these other obsessions in your life, and you have disassociated the risen Christ from your life in the sense of, he cares about what goes on daily in your life. And you don't realize the resurrection power that he offers. And Brad, as we look at this text in Matthew 28, 1 through 20, this is the last chapter. This is the culmination of Matthew's gospel. And it's the crescendo. It builds up. You know, the last two chapters have been 70-something verses each. That's almost like the whole book of Timothy, of 2 Timothy.
Well, when you asked me if I could teach last week, I was like, "What are we, 8 verses?"
Yeah,
I mean, you said the whole chapter.
No, well, yeah, but Matthew 20, because all the other chapters, the last two chapters, they've been 66, 70
right,
verses.
Right.
And so Matthew 28, which has really the most important event for our faith, in that Christ dying on the cross paid for our sin. That's but the proof that paid for our sin and that God was satisfied was when he was resurrected. The proof in what he said, everything he said was going to come true when he was resurrected in that resurrected body. It proved he wasn't like any other religious leader in history. He wasn't like Muhammad. He wasn't like Confucius. Mm-hmm. He wasn't like anybody who started a world religion, because he died a brutal death and was resurrected in a new body that was indestructible. And Brad, that, if that doesn't fire you up to think, wow, that same Jesus is alive today, interceding to the Father, is what he says about, you know, it says in Hebrews that, it says that about him. And John, he tells him, "I'm going to prepare a place for you guys." If that doesn't fire you up, I don't know what will fire you up as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ.
I thought it was interesting what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain." So while we rejoice in the crucifixion, we rejoice in the resurrection.
Yeah, the crucifixion is we rejoice because he's like that guy who paid for all the debt.
Yeah.
He just said, I'm going to take this debt on me. And he took it according to Isaiah 52 and 53.
And you didn't do anything to deserve that.
We didn't deserve it. And he did it. But Paul goes on to say in 115 that if in Christ we only have hope for now, then we're to be pitied.
Yeah.
Because it's really what he did. He dealt with our sin. And what we saw in the crucifixion, we saw the incredible price and penalty of sin. But what we also saw in him was the rescue of our soul. And we saw that salvation from God brings eternal life. And the power, the spiritual power that we can access, doesn't mean we always do it, but it's there. Mm-hmm. And according to Ephesians, it says, when we are in him, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing.
Right.
And so because he is raised, we will be raised. And I, you know, Brad, as I work through this text and I thought about the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, there were 12 that I counted post-resurrection appearances. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though God is infinite in his power, infinite in his presence, he's very personal. And what I see when he appears to Mary Magdalene and the woman from the tomb and Cleopas and the disciple on the road to Emmaus and Peter and the disciples, and even when he appears to his brother James and to the disciples in Galilee, or even to Saul on the road to Damascus, I see this infinite God personally appearing to these people, dealing with specific issues in their life that keep them from seeing the wow of Jesus.
Mm.
And so I thought it would be good for us to go through these as we look at his power. Just could you read first in Matthew 28, just 1 through 6 and then verse 18?
Yeah.
Just 1 through 6 and verse 18.
Yeah, Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come, see the place where he lay." You said verse 18.
And then verse 18.
And yeah. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me."
So in this, we see the power. That's the first peak of this mountain we're looking at. Mm-hmm. The power of Jesus. And it says, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week. So the first day of the week would have been Sunday. So the way the Jewish people counted days, Friday, if you experienced any part of the day, it was counted as a day. So Friday was one day. Saturday was the next day. The first part of Sunday made the third day. So on the third day, mm-hmm. he arose, fulfilling Matthew 12, what he said when he said, just as Jonah was in the fish for 3 days, so the Son of Man must be in the ground for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so on that third day, he arose, and it says, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, went to see the tomb, and there was a great earthquake. Earthquakes have always been associated with a demonstration of God's power mm-hmm. or his wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come back, we're going to look at this first person, Mary Magdalene, that he appeared to, and it's also over in Mark 16 and John chapter 20. But Mary Magdalene is going to the tomb with these other ladies to anoint his body. The disciples are huddled in the house in Jerusalem, and they're scared.
Yeah.
And so when they see the angel, they feel the earthquake, they see the guards passed out, the stones rolled away, Mary Magdalene takes off running back to the house to get the disciples, and James and John come back with her to the tomb. John gets there first, then Peter, and then Mary. And we're going to take up Mary's story and see how he appears to Mary when we come back.
Yeah, glad you joined us. You want to call? 844-777-7928. We'll take a quick break. Be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on The Truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors, they offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
Trading punches with the heart of diamonds. Going to blows with your fear and gone. Never know until it's stripped away. The thought of you has got to die.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here Monday afternoon. We're in Matthew chapter 28. Can't believe, Doug, I was talking to David Gray on Friday. 2 years? What have we been in Matthew for at least 2 years?
Yeah. Yeah, we have.
Because I think we started the radio broadcast in Matthew.
We did. Yeah. We actually did. And so we've actually, I think, been in a SWAT about 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. But we've worked through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And we're at the culmination of it. And if you're just tuning in, whether you're in Virginia listening on PMH up there on 100 FM or 1010 AM or in St. Mary's, Georgia on 91.3 or St. Augustine 91.9 or here in Jacksonville 91.7 or through the internet or our app on SWATradio.com, we are looking at the post-resurrection appearances. And I shared this analogy at the beginning of the program today that sometimes we're looking out, or instead of looking out of our window at the, you know, the mountains, the Rocky Mountains, we're inside with our shades drawn looking at a little bitty screen, a photo of the Rocky Mountains as it relates to Jesus. And we don't go, wow. He doesn't evoke a wow in us because we're not really looking at him. We're just looking at a projection of him or a reflection of him.
Well, I was thinking about these women who are running to the tomb. It is likely they weren't even aware that there would be a guard on that tomb or a seal on that
tomb.
Well,
no, I don't think they knew because it was the Sabbath.
Was it Mark that recorded that they were even saying, hey, how are we going to roll the stone back?
They were going to just roll the stone back and put it up. And by the way, you bring up a good point that God used women to be the first witnesses of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And I think he used them because they were faithful. They were there when he was, Mary, remember, anointed him for his burial.
Yep.
And the disciples are sitting there going, hey, why are you wasting this? And it wasn't just Judas. They joined in too. Mm-hmm. It says they joined in. They were there when he was being beaten and when he was on the cross. They were there to anoint him on Monday or Sunday, I mean. And so God used these women to be the first witnesses, but this isn't the first time. Back in 1 Samuel 2, Hannah is the first time we see when Hannah's singing this song. It's the first time we hear the word Yeshua in the Old Testament. And Yeshua means salvation, but it also is the name Jesus or Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Luke 1, it's not Zechariah who's praising the baby inside Mary's womb. It's Elizabeth.
Mm.
And then it's not even Joseph praising God for what's going on in Sarah. It's Mary with her Magnificat, the song. And so even in John 4, you know, he uses this woman at the well to go tell this whole city. I think it's the first time that a whole city or village comes in response to a woman who were terrible witnesses in that culture. And so he uses these women. And I think one thing it shows, Brad, is if they were fabricating this, they would have never chosen to write about women being the one who were the first ones to see him resurrected.
Yeah, because they didn't have a whole lot of credibility in that day.
That's exactly right. And here's what's crazy is the disciples didn't even believe him when they went back and told him.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
disciples were the first ones to deny the resurrection.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, I think it's interesting. Just a couple of things that stood out. Well, one in particular is that, you know, you think about it, it was an angel who announced the incarnation, and it was an angel who announced the resurrection.
Yes.
You know, Jesus coming into the earth, into the world, and Jesus rising from the dead.
Yeah, and he did. And when he ascended again, remember there was an angel sitting there. Well, he appears to Mary Magdalene, and I shared before the break, Mary runs back, gets Peter and John. John runs, beats Peter to the tomb. Peter looks, goes inside. John's not going inside. Peter sees the grave's clothes folded up nice and neat. Mary Magdalene's on her way there. She doesn't get there as quickly as they do, but when she gets there, she sees this guy that she thinks is the gardener.
Hmm.
And we know this from the John account. Mark's account over in Mark chapter, what is it, Mark 16, Mark 15? It's Mark chapter 16. In Mark 16, it says he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. But over in John, it tells the story of when Mary meets Jesus. And John chapter 20, it tells over in John 20:11, Mary stood weeping outside the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And as she wept, she stooped to look in the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head, one at the feet. They said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've taken him." And having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But here's the key. But she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Woman, who are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she said, and she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Don't cling to me, for I've not yet ascended, but go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord." So here's the thing, Brad. I think when he appears to Mary here, he's dealing with sorrow. Not a brief sadness, but a sorrow that's so deep that your faith, because of it, doesn't recognize Jesus. Because she didn't recognize him.
Right.
And it's because she was so sad, and I can only imagine why she would have been sad. She could have had thoughts that, oh no, the guy that took the demons out of me said he was going to be resurrected, and he's not. His body's gone.
Well, similar to Cleopas on the Emmaus Road.
Yeah. But
they didn't recognize
him. They didn't recognize him there because of discouragement, but she's just sad.
Mm-hmm.
She's just flat out sad. And I think the sorrow that she's dealing with is keeping her from seeing Jesus. So I wonder if anybody's listening, and maybe things have not worked out the way you wanted to in life. Maybe you're struggling right now with a bad diagnosis or a bad diagnosis to somebody you love. Maybe God has brought somebody you love home early. And maybe the sorrow has overwhelmed you. And as you're listening, you've been so overwhelmed, as you think about it, that you don't even recognize Jesus when he's there, because he was right in front of her and she knew him. She walked with him, but she was so overwhelmed by her sorrow. And he says this, why are you weeping? He's there. And, you know, the fact that Jesus is resurrected should encourage you and me, Brad. There is nothing, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, nothing this side of heaven should overwhelm the goodness that waits for us on the other side. In other words, the fact that all of our sins have been forgiven, the fact that Jesus was resurrected, when we see that peak of Jesus, that mountain of him, that should make us go, wow. Wow.
I think it's interesting is that the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, as he said. And then I love this word, what he says here. Come, see the place where he lay. Don't just take my word for it. Come check it out.
Yeah, he does. And you take us into the next appearance, which is the other women. Because these other women, when Mary Magdalene went back to get the disciples, these other women were there, and it says they were fearful. So with them, he's dealing with fear. And the fear is annotated not when they initially see them, although that was there too. The angel said, don't be afraid. But the fear is also annotated when the angel sent them back. It says they went filled with joy and what? And fear. And I wonder if the reason they were fearful is because they thought nobody's going to believe us. And it turned out they didn't. The disciples did not believe them. And because they were women, maybe because they felt marginalized and they had such great news to share. And you know, Brad, when I used to share the gospel, how to share the gospel in seminars across the country. And one of the greatest things that keeps people from telling other people about Jesus is fear. Fear of rejection, fear of not getting it right, fear of inadequacy. And maybe these women felt inadequate. Maybe they feared something, but Jesus appeared to them. And look at what he said. You read it over in Matthew. What does he say? He says, don't be afraid. He says over in Matthew 28, verse 8, he says, you know, they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up, they took hold of his feet, and he said, don't be afraid. So I don't care what your fear is, whatever we fear. And for you and me, we're not like that missionary where we've got an AK-47 stuck in our head. For us, the fear may be, are we going to have enough money to pay our bills tomorrow? For us, the fear may be, is my child who's walked away from the Lord ever coming back?
Yeah.
Or they're out of relationship with me, or my spouse who's out of, whatever that is, those are the fears that you and I grapple with. But that same fear, he says, don't be afraid.
Don't you think also, we kind of discussed this Friday morning, is the idea that, you know, it says that, go quickly, tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. There's this, they departed quickly from the tomb, in verse 8, with fear and great joy. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that you got two emotions that are very normal, very natural emotions. One's fear, one's great joy. It, you know, and I was kind of saying, hey, if you've got news like that, the gospel, which that's what they're going back to report, is that he's risen. There's got to be a sense of fear in the sense that, wow. Like you said, it's this wow, but it's also great joy. Because it's the gospel.
Well, and they did. They had that joy. But don't miss the fear thing, that fear is the antithesis of faith. It is the opposite. It's not doubt. And fear is not from God. He does not want us to be fearful of anything. And if that fear, we're not talking about being afraid. We're talking about a fear that paralyzes us from doing what we're supposed to do.
So it's a normal emotion. But hey, we'll get back into it tomorrow. Glad you joined us today. Go to SWATradio.com. You can listen to past broadcasts there. And we'll see you tomorrow, Doug.
See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warfare.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia.